You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
All right, well, Tamar, you have probably figured this out by now, but now that you have a daughter, the first thing people are always going to ask you about is not how you're doing,
right?
But how she's doing. How's your girl doing, man?
She's doing really well, and I've gotten used to that. Like, I mean, that's kind of what I expect at this point, honestly, because, like, my mom does it. You really know? And she tends to catch herself a little bit. Like, she'd be like, I'm sorry, son. How are you doing? Like, she just asked about, like, Lonnie, but, like, I want to talk about her too. So it's like, you know, it don't really bother me because, like, I'm worried about how she's doing too. So,
no, but man, grandmas are notorious for that.
Yeah. It is funny though, because I never really thought about that part of it. Like, everybody asking, how's Lonnie doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're second forever, man. Second forever. But it's cool. That's, you know, we play that role. But I got to ask you, man. So I wasn't at Hoosier Hysteria, but obviously watched it and saw a lot of the clips. And, you know, the one for me, just, you know, as a dad with a young daughter, watching you walk out with her was something else. Tell me about that moment.
Man, that was like, so obviously, like, when I found out they was coming down, I'm like, hold on, I'm about to, you know what? This is how it happened. Or, like, how that idea kind of came, like, to fruition. I was talking to one of my friends, and I'm like, what song should I come out to? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I came out to Meek Mill last year, and I'm like, what song do I want to come out to? Like, I really ain't know. I'm calling my brother. Like, I'm calling, you know what I mean? Like, asking my teammates. Like, we talk about it, but. And he was like, we get talking about kind of, like, not really like R&B, but like something that's like kind of like different, like a little different. Like, obviously, I came out of Through the Wire, but at first I was going to come out of Family Business, and he was like, and then walk out with Leilani because he knew she was coming. I probably was like, whoa. I said, you now? I'm like, hold on. Because I ain't thinking about that. I'm like, I can. I really can walk out with her. So I'm like, yeah, no doubt. I know she had the headphones, everything. She'd be good. So I'm just glad that I get to like share moments like that with her, you know, like looking back on it. And just like having these experiences, like I'm going through my journey with her, like I'm sharing it with her. And like, yeah. You know, I never really knew I would have a little, you know, my little best friend, you know, to share my journey with, you know, aside from like, obviously like my siblings and friends that I have, like, this is my baby girl. And I get to share, you know, now all my experiences with her. So.
Yeah. It's one of those moments. It's cool now. 10, 20, 30 years from now, I'm sure it'll be even cooler, you know, just to be able to look back at that and relive that. It's a really cool moment, man. It's cool that you're bringing her along and sharing those moments with her.
Man, and it's so special because it's like, she don't even know what's going on right now. Like, she has no clue. She don't even remember that. Like, so, like you said, 10, 20 years from now, it'll be, like, just pretty special just to sit down and talk about it, look at pictures because, like, you know, as opposed to when I was a baby and the pictures we look at from then, they not that great. These pictures, it's only going to keep getting better. So it's like, we're going to be able to look back at clear, like, videos and pictures, you know, from whatever we talking about happened. So it's like, yeah, it'll be crazy.
How's the rest of the family? I know Trey is... playing at Mississippi College this year, right? So he's getting ready for another season.
And they excited about him. And he's excited about just like this new opportunity to, not at JUCO anymore. He's playing Division II. So it's like he's on a different stage. It's like a new, it's always good to have like a new, like, you know, start. I mean, it's just a recurring cycle. So, you know, he's excited about this season. They got their, three exhibitions coming up, and then, oh my God, my sisters, I am in pain, like, too, like, close attention, and I'm like, I ain't realizing, like, this whole time I've been growing up, they've been growing up too. So, like,
yeah,
My mom sending me pictures of Trinity talking about homecoming. I said, homecoming? Homecoming dress? What are we talking about? Like, what do you mean she's going to homecoming? Like, I'm not realizing, oh my gosh, she is a freshman in high school. Like, I did that when I was a freshman in high school. But I'm not really realizing, yo, like, my little sister's really growing up.
Yeah.
And then Tamia, she's in seventh grade. She had her first basketball game the other day. Scored her first points, all that.
Nice. So,
and then my parents, they still steering the ship. So, mm-hmm. Keeping the girls in line. So it's like, I'm glad that now they get to, raise the girls similar to how me and Trey were, we gone now, but they still got two more that they get to.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy being parents so much and doing it together. So it's like, I'm glad that they're not just in the crib by themselves. I'm sure they'll enjoy it then, and they're enjoying this like right now as the girls are growing up, going through middle school, high school.
All right, so one more dad question for you. Have you figured out what your dad's superpower is? You know, like some dads, it's like singing their kids to sleep or playing or making them laugh. Like what's your thing?
We laugh a lot. We do laugh a lot. Like, even when I call her, like, I really don't know what my superpower would be. You're like, I don't know. I mean, like, I do
put making her, funny faces and making her laugh, that kind of thing.
Like, we laugh a lot. Like, we always, like, you feel me? I can make her laugh. And that's kind of just like me thinking, like, it's my daughter. So she probably don't know what she's laughing at. She's going to laugh just because, like, so, I'm sure she's already getting her, like, little personality. So, I mean, she's my daughter, so she's somewhat like me, and I'm a clown. So, other than that, we do take, I mean, when she's here with me, like, we take a lot of naps. Like, I put her to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really, like.
Like, do you sing to her? Is it more just kind of rocking?
Sing to her, yeah, like, rocking her. Really just, she just want to be up under you, like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and she'll go to sleep, like, watch TV or something. Like, she's hilarious. Like, but she sleeps though. Like, she doesn't like just like wake up and like, it's crazy. Like, and how fast she started doing that, like sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
Like, if she not gonna do nothing else, she gonna sleep.
That's good. That's good. You're lucky, man.
Yeah. That's right now, but
yeah,
I can't imagine it would get too much worse. So I sure hope not. I would hope she always wants to sleep, get some rest.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. And you did a camp recently, the next gen camps. How'd that go?
That went well. Just to get back in that environment like that we had this past summer when we had our kids camp at Assembly Hall. So it's like, it's always fun to be in that environment. Just like thinking back, I remember when I was literally in these kids' shoes, like, it just seeing how they view us, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even we kind of take it for granted because we do it every day. Like,
yeah.
Like, we got key card, we get in the Assembly Hall, we know the code to all the doors. Like, it's like kind of like we just hear all the time. So it's like we don't really realize what people or like especially kids, how they see it from the outside, like looking in. So it's always nice to be here. And then it's basketball. Like, I mean, I'm going to talk trash. I'm going to mess around with the kids, play with them, like, just to give them that experience.
What's like the one message you want kids to take away from a camp like that? Is there like one specific thing you really try and impart on them?
I would say the first thing is really just to be a good person. Like, just treat people the right way. Right? Like that. Cause I mean, people going like remember like a bad experience with you. Like, you, your name come up, like, oh, I remember that kid did this, that, and that, and the third. Like, so I mean, really just like, treating people the right way and being nice to people that like they can't do anything for you. You're just, you feel me? Like, just being a good, just being a good person. And then on the basketball side of it, just putting in the time. Like, that's just you think like when you this young, like, oh yeah, I got time, like, man, like, yeah, you do, but it's like, just work on your game. Like, it's not gonna all happen like at once. So just keep being consistent in your work.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or marketer, you know how much your messaging matters. Bob Knight said, "All of us learn to write in the second grade. Most of us go on to do greater things." And coaches write about some writing, but not copywriting. The kind of writing that grows your business through memorable messaging and marketing. Any business can dominate the competition and win big with a world-class copywriter crafting time-saving and money-making emails, landing pages, ads, and more for you. Clay Manley from Speakeasy Sales Copy is one of the world's best, and he lends his talents to small businesses. Clay's an IU alum and an award-winning writer whose words have been trusted by Marvel, Slim Jim, Petco, and many other household names. After getting sick of helping the rich get richer, he left corporate copywriting to focus on helping small businesses grow. If your business could benefit from stronger messaging, then contact Clay at clay@speakeasysalescopy.com. And as a listener of the show, you can sample his proven playbook of million-dollar messaging secrets for free. Just go to speakeasysalescopy.com/scoop for more. That's speakeasysalescopy.com/scoop. This could be your banner year, and your copy is the X factor. Contact Clay at Speakeasy Sales Copy today.
You know, speaking of work, so there's a longtime Indiana fan named Sam Story. He's been a coach, and he sends out this big, long preview email every year. And so he'll talk to people close to the program and kind of get some insight. And one of the people that he talked to this year said the hardest workers on the team are you, Jalen, Xavier, and Miller. And I'm curious what you think when you hear someone like that, someone close to the program that takes such notice of your work and your work
ethic. Sorry, who said that?
I don't know who it was. It was someone close to the program. He didn't give up his sources. It's just someone close to the program. Oh. But that's not, I've heard that from many people talking about your work ethic and always being in the gym and being a gym rat. And you kind of hear a lot of the same names come up, you know, when they talk about that. And I've, from our conversations, I have a feeling you would take a sense of pride in being named one of those guys.
I mean, I'm just glad that, you know, other people do kind of like notice it, like whether you say something or not, I'm just, you know, glad that I'm working hard. Like, that's just me, like just making sure I'm really staying true to myself. Like, it's like, okay, you doing, you know, what you've, you're not shying away from, you know, what you do, like just who you are as a, like who Tamar is, like, that's what I, like, that's just always been me. So I'm just glad that other people, you know, take notice and, you know, realize that, you know, I'm, everything that I do or like everything that happens is just all a product of putting the time in. And I mean, that's pretty much it.
What does a workout look like for you? Like, if it's 11 o'clock at night and you're going to just get a workout at the gym, like, what does that look like? Are you having someone come with you? Or are you just going by yourself with a ball and a shooting routine? Like, what are you typically doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have one of our GAs and some managers pull up. But right now in the season, like, because we practice for so long, like, when I go back, I don't want to do too much that'll, like, you know, I still want to take care of my body. Right. So it's like just probably really just spot shots, floaters, ball handling, passing, you know, not really too many cuts or like nothing like that. Just like light on the body, like come in hard, like just 35 minutes, just focused, like locked in, good reps, like, and you shoot. And like when I shoot, like I try to shoot, I everything I do is like, you got to make 10 out of 14 or 9 out of 10 or 7 out of 8, like, or you can't, like, just like focus reps.
Yeah.
Not really too much time because you, like I said, like, it's a long season. So just depending on where, like, I am within the week and the schedule is how I work out, like how hard I work out. Like, I either work out that hard, like right after practice or on an off day, depending on, like, if we had a game, practicing, like, yeah. So it just depends on the situation. But 11 o'clock at night, I'm not doing, like, nothing crazy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just doing more of the kind of the repetitive stuff, like the like shooting and
just
the, how's your shot feeling? I mean, I know you weren't happy with how you shot, you know, in season last year. I know you're capable of more. I'm sure you've worked on it a ton in the off season. How's it feeling as the season nears?
Man, I mean, I'm trying to say this in the most humble way. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I just put it like this. I'm shooting the ball pretty well right now. I'm just in a good space. I'm in a good flow.
Good.
So, I mean,
What feels different? Like, does something feel different about your shot this season than last year?
Nothing feels different physically. I would say it's just reps and then just the mental side of it. Like, not really, you know, thinking too much or it's not like there's no like mental blocks when it comes to me playing, not just shooting the ball, but just playing, period. Just be on the floor, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like I said, like I'm in a good space mentally. So I feel like that has a lot to do with why I'm like why I've been shooting the ball well, along with just the reps, muscle memory.
Yeah.
So nothing, like that's all that feels different. Nothing physically though. Like it's like
I shoot the ball. Didn't make any tweaks or anything?
No
adjustments. You know, you did an interview with the Hoosier Hysterics, which was terrific. A lot of people listening to this have probably listened to that. I highly recommend folks do. And there's a lot of stuff you talk about in there that I don't want to talk about here, just so that we can explore some new ground. So I recommend people listen to that, and we'll put a link to it. You know, but there was something that you talked about with him that I wanted to dig into just a little bit more. And it was about, you know, how last season, you know, once you got past the season, you kind of recognized that you were going through a storm, you know, during the season. And weren't always able to recognize it in the moment, but really were able to see that when you stepped away from it. I'm curious if you can give us an example of that. Like what was, you know, something that felt like that, whether you felt it in the moment or kind of saw it, you know, in hindsight, and how do you think that'll be different this year now that you've had to go through and are kind of in a, you know, a better mental state, like you just said?
I kind of like, I always kind of think that like experience is the best teacher. So I just feel like the set of experiences that I like have from just this past season, and obviously like before then, but just like my freshman year, it's helped me more than I thought it would while it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like kind of made me kind of appreciate everything more, like about the game, everything that comes with it. Like, just obviously, like I've never taken a game for granted, but it kind of just like just made me like way more hungrier. Like for me, like completely honest with you, like just like kind of in the like state of like, you know, my back's against the wall, I gotta respond. Mm-hmm. Or not, I gotta respond. I get to respond. I have another opportunity my sophomore year to go play basketball and, you know, really solidify who Tamar Bates is as a basketball player and a human being. So, you know, that's kind of what I like. That's my outlook on it. But you want to talk about a storm? I'm talking about like pouring, like hail. Thunder, mm-hmm. lightning. Like,
was that a combination of what was happening on the court and off the court? Just all of it?
Yeah. But I feel like more of it was basketball. Like, and the stuff that was happening off the court, you know, I was trying to, like, in my head, use basketball as kind of like my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on the court, and, you know, everything's not going how you would, you know, like for it to. From you hitting adversity, now, you know, now what do you do? And this is what you're coming to for therapy. It's like, that's kind of where, like, it like they conflict each other. Or they conflicted each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
Support for the Inside Scoop is also presented by Home Field Apparel, the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And our friends at Home Field Apparel, they have the widest and most extensive collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And as I'm sure you've come to know, it's not just IU. They started with IU stuff and the Bison logo that kind of took everybody by storm, and they just did a brand refresh, so they keep adding to their IU collection. But they're also adding other schools like crazy. They have, I think, 120 schools now. And so as you're looking to shop for yourself or for the IU fan in your life, or even folks who didn't go to Indiana, Home Field Apparel is the place to go for excellent fitting, ridiculously comfortable, washable, vintage gear that really makes a statement about your fandom. And so go to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. That's homefieldapparel.com, promo code H-O-M-E. Now, back to the Inside Scoop.
So, you know, you said, you know, you've got this opportunity to show everybody who Tamar Bates is as a basketball player and as a person. What do you want people to see this season? Like, what do you think will be different about your game this year?
Just more of an assertiveness, just being more sure. I'm 19 years old, so I'm still figuring out who exactly I am as a basketball player, but I'm working towards it. And I feel like I'm in a good spot right now to where I can help our team win basketball games. But I just want them to see them as whenever 53 checks in the game, like, you know, he's going to do whatever he needs to help us win this game. Like, he's going to make winning plays with no matter what's going on. Like, cause I mean, the game is a game of runs, like ups and downs. And it is a long game. It's, you know, it's about who can stay locked in the longest. So it's like, you know, I'm going to go out there and, you know, lay it all on the line. You know, just really just be ready to compete. I just love to compete. And that's like what's like great about the higher the levels you go in basketball, like, because everybody's like that. Everybody want to win. Mm-hmm. But it's like now when the athleticism and the skill start to like meet, now you got to like, now it's about all the little stuff and within the game, which is really the, like the big stuff, like what people call the little things. Like that's really what wins games at, like, you know, in college basketball and at the highest level. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm, and again, that's something else that I'm still learning, like how to win, like how to win games, how to win at a high level. Like I'm still trying to figure that out, but only way to figure it out is by playing. So we got an opportunity to go, you know, do something special this year.
What do you think you guys figured out about that at the end of the year? You know, because obviously you hit that lull in February and then really got on a run at the very end there. You know, Big Ten tournament, winning an NCAA tournament game, winning games that frankly you weren't winning, like just weeks prior. What did you figure out and what do you think can carry over from that experience to this year?
I feel like what we, we did figure a lot out, but it was just because of the sake of the situation, like how we got to a point of we want to go to the tournament, but we can't lose. Like we literally cannot lose a game. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like guys were doing literally anything to win the game. So, you know, we see what we can do when we play with that mindset and, like, just like that tenacity, like, yo, like, I don't care who does it, when it happens, but we have to win this game. So it's like keeping that mindset when we don't have to win games in the Big Ten tournament to get to the big dance. Like, and always keeping that consistency and just like that being our frame of mind every time we go play. So just going through that, winning those games, seeing how the way we play, how hard we play, like going back and watching the film, really like watching the whole games, like throughout that tournament and how hard guys are playing. That's what we're working towards, to play like that all the time.
You know, we've talked a lot about your transition from high school to college. And, you know, one of the things that everybody faces is just the physical transition. You know, it's just you're going from playing against high school guys to playing against grown men. You know, one of the things that I've noticed just from, you know, some of the videos that have been posted is you look bigger, like you look sturdier. what kind of work did you put in, you know, with Cliff Marshall in the offseason? How important is that going to be for you this year? How big of a part does that play in your confidence?
Man, we was in that room. I'm talking like, oh my. It went by fast, but like the days was like, they wasn't like super slow, but like, I mean, we about to be playing now. So now we looking back on it, but man, we was in there in the weight room, and it was just a commitment to not only Coach Cliff, but myself, like to really taking my nutrition seriously. Cause like we can do all the lifting we want, but I have to eat. Like I gotta compensate that with a certain amount of calories every day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we locked in the weight room. Me and Coach Cliff had an agreement. We wanted, so you at end of the season, I was at 185. End of the summer or beginning like fall, I went to at 200.
Wow, really?
So, and I continued to work towards that, and I was feeling better. Like, you know, because you never really know, like not all weight is good weight. But like as I was putting
I know that well.
So as I'm putting this weight on, I'm continuing to feel better. I can do more things on the floor, especially on the defensive end and the offensive end as well. So, I mean, it's like just on both ends of the floor, I'm feeling better. I, you know, more explosive, faster. So we continuing to put on weight, and I'm at 198 right now. Right. So that's probably where I play at, but man, had a great summer in the weight room. That was the number one thing on my list, honestly. Cause from a basketball standpoint, you know, that's what I've been doing, and I know what I'm gonna work on here. But what's the like most important thing for me? Like I have to be able to compete physically too.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like gifted with like just like being just big like out of high school. So I'm proud of myself too. Like honestly, like because like I've always been like called like skinny kid, like mm-hmm. like he wiry, like he anything you name up, anything you think of. You feel me? I'm a dog, so I'm telling people I might look like, but I'm heavy though. Like you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking crazy. I don't care. Like I'm still like type strong. I really wasn't, but now I am. Put the weight on. So I'm glad I was able to have a good summer in the weight room.
You know, speaking of this talk about working out and our conversation earlier about work ethic, have you seen the Redeem Team documentary yet?
Have I?
I mean, I figured you probably had.
I probably watched it about 8 or 9 times.
I ain't gonna lie. All right, so what story am I going to ask you about?
I don't. What's probably the? I don't know. Probably the one that everybody's seen when Kobe,
yes,
like, ran through Pau Gasol chest first play of the game. I know they're gonna run. You last screen up, boom.
Okay, well, it's not that one. So it's not that one actually. So the one that really made me think about you was when the guy, I think Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, they're all talking about how they were out at the club. And they came back at 4:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. and they see Kobe going the other way to work out. And I thought that reminds me of Tamar. I said, I bet he watches this and appreciates that story of Kobe. What'd you think when you were watching that?
I mean, what I thought was like, it's not like it's fine. Like it's cool to not go out and go to sleep and go work out early in the morning. Like that's not lame. Like, cause if Kobe Bryant doing it, anybody could do it. So it's okay to not go out. Like that's fine. Like you don't have to do that. Obviously, like sometimes you can, you know, have some fun, but at that time, you know, they trying to go win a gold medal. So, but then again, like you said, like I appreciate that. Like just like I appreciate like he not the only player like with a. Obviously, he got one of the best work ethics like ever. But there's other people who do speak that language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to talk about your role on the team. Like, how do you view your role right now? And roles can change, obviously, as you go through the season and there's ebbs and flows and players develop. How do you view your role right now?
I see me as a two-way player, aggressive on the offensive end. You know, I want to score the ball for us. Kind of be like that X factor just because we have so many threats. But just being on the wing as opposed to, you know, being a point guard or on a block with Race and Trace, like, you, nah, I'm on the wing. Like, because it's like, you got to deal with them. You got to deal with X. And when you swing it to the wing, I do with Fino. I do with me. I do with Miller. Like CJ. Like
pick your poison.
League. Like you know what I'm saying. So it's like being that X factor on the wing, who affects the game on both ends of the floor, right? Just right, like just wreaking havoc, organized chaos. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, no matter you know when I'm in a game, you know. Which everybody is kind of, I would hope, you know, thinking like we just want to make winning plays. We're not going to panic. They're going to make runs. We're going to make runs. But, you know, we're going to play the long game.
Yeah. And how have practices been going? Like, I mean, from what everybody says, it's been just crazy competitive.
Yeah. We've been going at it, right? And this Saturday, everybody's like, just like, I mean, can't
ready to beat up on someone else.
Yeah. I mean, we've been playing each other for 4 months. Like, so it's like, I wouldn't say it's like dwindled down. Cause like guys, like we still compete, you know, they throw it up, put 20 minutes on the clock. Like we going to go at it, mm-hmm. but just to play against somebody else. And now we all, playing with each other and like seeing what we look like as a team, like everybody on the same team, that's going to be, it's going to be exciting. So practice has been great, but I know everybody ready to play somebody else.
Who on the team brings out your competitive juices the most? Like when you get matched up against them in a drill or, you know, in a possession and you love them, your friends, but you know, they just really bring it out in you.
Hmm. There's a few people I could say, but I know. Let me see. I'm gonna say Ant. Like, and he'll laugh when he hear it. Like, and it's not just me. Like, Ant be talking crazy to everybody. Like, like he gonna go. Like, he's like, you know, when Ant in a game, like, you know what he about to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? He gonna crash.
Anthony Leal.
Ant.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we all like kind of get after, but I get what you're saying though. But me and X definitely go at it. Me and Fino, like, let's have to say Ant, because Ant really be chatting. Like, and I get to talking back to him. But like, from certain times, like, because sometimes, like, when you get like saying too much, okay, now I gotta, I gotta handle my business. I gotta let you hear me. So I don't really say, I've gotten better at that, like just not saying nothing back. But I'm going to talk though. So
pick your spots a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had Anthony was actually on here. I did an interview with him last week. And so one of the questions that I asked him that a lot of the people in our community, they wanted me to ask you too, is like of all your teammates, what is the single individual skill that has improved the most? Like Trace's shooting or Jordan's ball handling or, you know, Logan's post play, like whatever it is, like what individual player skill do you think has improved the most that people will be really surprised by when they see it on the court this year?
You know what? I would honestly say racist shooting.
Really?
He's been shooting the ball really well, like, consistently, like, knocking it down. I'm like, and, you know, it seems like, you know, like he's in a good space as well, right? Like, just from a confidence standpoint and, you know, he big dog. Yeah, he the vet. He the old man in the locker room, so.
You know who Anthony said? He said Race and Trace are shooting. That's what he said.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. Like, And that only helps everybody else on the team. That only makes us that much better. They shoot the ball. Like, you put Trace at the top of the key, and you can't help too crazy because he will make it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just make the team better.
What about for you? What do you think is the individual skill that's improved the most for you that we'll notice when we see you get out there?
I would say really my decision making, just like seeing the game slower, like making plays like for my teammates, like just in transition in half court at a pick and roll, like just like really, you know, like I said, like making plays, like getting guys shots. Cause it's like I said earlier, like I have that experience of also playing in my freshman year. So I see the game better now. It's slowing down for me. So that's probably it. But yeah.
You know, and I know one of the things that you were talking to the Hysterics about was actually getting some time playing point guard in practice, which was, you know, which was great to hear, obviously, is, you know, just an added dimension to your game. I'm curious, you know, one of the things that you guys did a lot more at the end of last season than at the beginning was running that pick and roll, and especially running the pick and roll and getting it to the roll man. I mean, those lobs to Trace, it was just like over and over again in the Purdue game, in the Michigan game. Is that something that you guys are continuing to incorporate into the offense? And that, you know, I know a lot of times it was X running it. Is that something where now the responsibility for initiating is kind of spreading out to you and Jalen, you know, and other guys on the team?
Right. Just having multiple people on the floor that can handle the ball. And yeah, that's definitely going to be an offense. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, huh? Like, what are we talking about? You got Trace, he's getting behind the roller. He's getting behind a guy that's guarding him every time because he's so fast. He probably jump higher than him. Mm-hmm. Put up there. He'll get it. Mm-hmm. So, right. Like, but yeah, just having multiple people that can come off of those ball screens and make a good play to either Trace. Well, it's usually empty side pick and roll. So, you know, if the guy the nail helps, you kick it three, something.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting something good out of that that offense.
Well, it's late. I don't want to keep you too long. Obviously, you guys are going to be playing. We're recording this on Thursday night. You play in 2 days, which we all can't wait to watch. You know, one of the last questions I have for you is just about internal leadership on the team. You know, because it's something the best teams are always, you know, internally led. And, you know, you guys obviously have a lot of veterans. And so I think we all hope that's a strength. How would you assess the internal leadership? And how much you guys are self-led as opposed to always having to be led by the coaches?
I think it's been pretty good right now. We can get better. We can be better at it. Especially with like the guys that are, even the guys that are older than me, like I'm only a sophomore, but, and like we, obviously, like you said, like we have a lot of veterans, older guys, seniors, juniors. So, you know, I would say it is good, like to where it works. Right. And like guys will say something first before the coaches have to say anything. Right. Just having a player led team. But everybody's so invested that everybody's going to throw in what they have to say at some point, you know, just because everybody want to win.
Yeah.
So, I think it's pretty good right now.
You know, last question for you, you know, looking ahead to this exhibition game, and I know, you know, it's a game you guys aren't going to take anybody lightly, you know, but as fans, it can sometimes be challenging to figure out, you know, what can we take from what we're watching? Because there does tend to be a talent disparity and an athleticism disparity in these games. What do you and the team, what do you guys want to get out of these games? Like as you guys go back and watch it, like what are the things that you're going to look at to say, okay, this was, you know, positive for us. We got some good stuff accomplished here. Besides winning, of course.
Executing our defensive concepts, right? Like recognizing like the spots that we're in and talking on defense, communicating our switches. Really a lot of stuff on defense. Like that'll really be the main portion of it. Obviously, we'll watch offense. Like making sure we're executing our base offense, you know, moving without the ball, sharing it, making the right play, right? Executing our offense. So really just execution and obviously making free throws and, you know, making shots and, you know, executing in transition, like, you know, giving it up in the break. Like, so mainly like just like execution of stuff that we can control. Obviously, we know it's a athleticism and like gap or whatever, but it's still basketball and they're an opponent and they're coming to Assembly Hall. So
that's right. Got to take care of business. Well, hey, man, I'm glad we had a chance to do this before the season started. And I think we can let folks know that we're going to keep this going through the season, maybe try some different formats, but keep it going. We always appreciate your insight and thoughtfulness just about the game and yourself and the team. So glad to keep this going.
Yes, sir. And I'd be tuned in to Draymond Green podcast and like how he be, how, like after he did a, like after the finals, when he was doing an episode after every game, I was like, you know what? I probably would do something like that. But like, that's kind of like bold. Like Draymond crazy.
Draymond is crazy in a lot of ways.
like he's so smart. Like that's why I listen to it, because like
he is.
He's like smart. Like he knows the game and he's a winner. He's won 4 championships. So mm-hmm. I'm listening to what you guys say. He's hilarious though. Oh my God.
He is. It's a great podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, and he is. I mean, he's, you know, he'll be interesting because he's either going to be the best on TV or he's going to be a great coach.
Yeah.
But can, you know, his volatility emotionally, you know, could be interesting as a coach, but he's going to do one of those two things because he is right. One of the smartest.
I don't think he'll go to TV first. I think he'll be a coach first.
Yeah. He's too competitive.
Yeah.
I want to be out there.
We'll see when that time comes. But yeah. In the meantime, we'll just sit back and watch the Warriors get ready to repeat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and hey, you ever want to talk post game? I mean, we have a show that goes live after every game. You're welcome anytime. And we can always hop on and record. Anytime you have thoughts, hit me up and you'll have a lot of audience members very excited to hear them. So
all right.
This is your spot. Cool, man. Good luck on Saturday. And we'll talk soon.
All right.
Cool. Thanks, Tamar.
Yeah.